Scott Skiles, my man.
Sweeping the kitchen with his 2x4, like mowing his lawn with the 2x4, like jamming his 2x4 into like a bucket of clothes and washing
up. I like when Hack calls me tough guy.
Hello, lady.
Looks like the size of an 18-month-old child. What do you even do with that? Are you taking that entree hammer?
Oh, I can't eat all this.
You imagine if he's a grower.
Is that Matilda's going to feel like she's been baited with a Mack truck?
Freak out, freak out.
Take a bite of his wood, oh yeah. Handles the lumber like Don Mattingly, oh yeah. Like a wounded water buffalo in heat.
Come here, water buffalo.
He's a little more bestial than you, buddy.
Get the nitty gritty and the bitty titty.
Let me hold your wood.
Give me your wood.
Because fans love to count, man. Can't take that away from him.
I don't know if I can continue the show with my mental state. I love the rules, but I also love the 10 count. And the 10 count is in a violation of the rules that I love.
Like, oh, raise the wood. I want to raise the wood with you. We're both raising the wood.
Start mating with some wildebeest. Right? He might slide you the cane.
He's doing a little cut and he sprays some white on him. Oh, yeah.
You are a man, Kamala. I think you might be able to see your ass, but you don't get to see any other specials.
The gang makes a comeback using his girth.
10 out of 10 times I've taken Slickster. Men are better than women.
Oh, nah, Mr. Fuji-san.
I'll go to a strip club.
And Jesse asks where they're going to mount Matilda. Are pets just allowed out there?
Virgil, I don't know, nutsack. What's the size of that Andre Hog? Raymond Rougeau. And everybody knows that everybody wants to grab my ravishing Rick dick.
Hey, we're back. Thank you for watching Saturday Night's Main Event. We'll be back. Hey, we're back. We'll see you on the next Saturday Night's Main Event.
In association with the Shining Wizards Network, Gorilla Brain Wrestling Podcast presents...
Year of Duke and Rogue. I'm your host, Duke Banks.
And some Kevin.
And today we're going to be covering WWF Saturday Night's Main Event, XVI 16. So this son of a bitch took place live from the birthplace of basketball, Springfield, Massachusetts.
Whoa, hold on a damn second. The birthplace of basketball is Springfield, Massachusetts.
Bet your ass.
I thought it was, wasn't it created by some college professor?
Naismith.
In Springfield, Massachusetts?
Must have been.
Well, that's interesting.
It's a pretty young game. I think it's early 1900s.
Yeah, wasn't it like started with like a barrel for apples or some shit like that? Or a
yeah,
curtain?
Like a fruit basket of some sort.
Yeah, interesting.
Huh. That's a fun fact.
Look at that. I was going to say, we haven't even really got into it. You're already dropping fun facts. What else do you know about Naismith? What did he teach?
I'm guessing Phi Ed, right?
Gotcha. Yeah, he was a Phi Ed teacher. A lot of calisthenics.
Yeah, very important. Stretching, of course.
Yeah, stretching. we gotta come up with a new game so these kids don't touch their jennies. No idle hands. Go get that fucking basket. I'm nailing it to a tree. What's that over there? A medicine ball? We'll use it. Get your hands out of your pockets.
Well, since we're on basketball here, you got a favorite basketball player?
Do I have a favorite basketball player? Not really. Like,
Ben Wallace?
Really a basketball. Oh, Ben Wallace is up there. Like, I'm not really a basketball guy, man. Like, I pretty much stopped watching basketball. I don't know. Somewhere in the KG era of the Timberwolves.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of gave up when they stopped playing defense. I was a big Olajuwon guy. I liked Olajuwon. Ewing. Big Ewing guy. I liked Ewing. Pete Chilcutt. Big Pete Chilcutt fan. In fact, that might be my favorite. Pete Chilcutt might be my favorite basketball player of all time.
Man, he was a killer from beyond the arc on Tecmo basketball.
And that's why he's it's probably why he's my favorite. Maybe Peja Stojakovic, right?
Oh, yeah. He was an ace behind the line.
Bad. Yeah, Horace Grant.
I mean, I was a Ben Wallace guy, and I think, you know, he's a guy who played defense. You know, he wasn't the biggest guy, but, you know, he blocked that shot. Do whatever he had to do.
Right.
I tuned into the All-Star game. It was a couple weeks ago, and they scored over 200 points for the first time. So that kind of tells you how they're doing on defense these days.
Wait a second. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I know who my favorite basketball player is. I just can't remember his name.
Bo Outlaw?
Oh, Bo Outlaw. That's a good one.
Scott Skiles?
Scott Skiles, my man. Yep, Scott's my man. We play pickup basketball, man. Every time I passed it, whether it is a sister or not, you just yelled out, Scott Skiles.
Right, right. Mr. Yep, assist record.
I'm a Scott Skiles man through and through. I think I can find myself one of those vintage Scott Skiles jerseys.
I bet you could find one, man. Probably at a reasonable rate.
Why, you don't think Scott Skiles is in high demand?
I mean, it might be a rare one.
That's a good point.
You know, there ain't as many of those as a Shaq, for example.
Yeah, a lot of Shaq jerseys. Yeah. Still. Not so many Scott Skiles. Man, if I get a Scott Skiles, I would probably wear that to work. Just wear it to the office. I should go in full Scott Skiles.
The shorts and the sneaks and
right. The whole
basketball, the wrist tape, yep, whole thing. Yep.
Anytime anybody walks into my office, I'll just pass them the basketball and yell Scott Skiles. Now sit your ass down, let's do some business.
Man, he still holds that record for 30 assists in a game. Pretty wild stat.
How do you get better than that?
Nobody's managed to do it.
31.
Haven't cracked the code.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
But we're told that this sucker took place on April 22nd, 1988, and it aired on April 30th. The first 15 of these featured the Hulkster, and this is the first time in the history of the Saturday night's main event where the Hulkster is not featured. He's busy filming No Holds Barred with Zeus.
Makes sense then. Yeah.
And so at this time, there was a couple of kind of flagship shows in syndication for the WWF Superstars. Remember, that was a favorite growing up. I think it was on at like 10 or 11.
Yep. 10 usually. 9 or 10, depending on, you know, they went through some changes, but yeah, 9 or 10.
And this is before Raw, obviously, and that's, you know, if a change didn't happen at a big super show, it usually happened on Superstars like Strike Force. They won the tag titles.
Okay.
Olé. Superstars.
Yep.
And, well, they just lost them last time around to the Glittery Demolition.
the Glitter Guys.
So they'll be in action later on. But different kind of format for this one. Right out the gate, we get everybody giving us a promo.
Yeah, it starts with Hack's promo.
Says, spring cleaning time.
Right, so like, I kind of laughed about that, just because like, envisioning Hack going through his house doing domestic chores with his 2x4.
Right.
Like, sweeping the kitchen with his 2x4, washing dishes with his 2x4. Like, the 2x4 is always the cleaning object there. So, like, mowing his lawn with the 2x4, you know, using it almost like a sigh. Like, washing the windows with the 2x4, just fucking him up. Like, folding his laundry with the 2x4. There was just so many different things like that played through my head. Like, it seemed awesome to me. Like, what are you going to do? Oh, Hack. He's like, time to do some laundry with my 2x4. And he's just like old style laundry, just jamming his 2x4 into like a bucket of clothes and wash it out. hanging him up on the clothesline and beating the shit out of him.
2x4?
With the 2x4, yes. All things done with the 2x4. Like raking leaves with his 2x4.
Oh, of course.
Like, he doesn't have any other cleaning instruments throughout the house. It just relies on his 2x4 for everything.
Man, I like when Hack calls me tough guy.
I do too.
It makes me feel good.
Yeah, it almost like it makes you feel like you could be or maybe are a tough guy.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Gives you the thumbs up, the tough guy.
Yeah. Tough guy. Yeah, it's really good.
You get Bobby the Brain. He calls Doug a cross-eyed sicko and a buffoon.
That's a little, I mean, I love Bobby. That's kind of over the line.
And he says they're going to call him Jigsaw Jim after Herc and the family are done with him. Because he's going to be in pieces or something like that.
Well, so
Bobby's looking sharp. As usual, he's got the red jacket, the sparkly silver bow tie. Andre's looking menacing yet professional with the suit coat.
Did you see, like, you could see Andre's hammer pretty well in those pants. I don't know if you took a gander.
No, man, I was spellbound by the Brain's bow tie.
No, I mean, I was into the Brain too. I watched this event a couple times, but like every time I was watching, I was like, geez, Andre, what do you really got going on over there?
Hammer was hanging pretty prominently.
Yeah, you ever think about that? Like, in your mind, you ever think about, like, he's the giant, right? He's Andre the Giant. He's the eighth wonder of the world. You think, like, the ninth, tenth, and eleventh wonders of the world are in his drawers?
Oh, I'm sure he calls them that, you know.
Right. Why wouldn't you?
I'm not doubting you, man.
Right. Now, the other thing I was thinking, too, like, put yourself in the perspective of a lady, right? We're going to make you a gal for this. And Andre says...
Hello, lady.
And he pulls out his, you know, his ninth wonder of the world, which is the 10th and 11th wonders of the world hanging below. And it looks like the size of an 18-month-old child. What do you even do with that? Right? Like, what can you do? You think it was hard for Andre to get chicks? Right? Because I think that's very intimidating for any kind of gal.
Well, you want to be with the eighth wonder, though, right?
I don't know, man. I've never been. That's why we're putting you in this situation. I've never been a lady.
You know, I'm thinking it's probably a probably a badge of honor, right?
Think it's right, split in right. two by Andre?
Maybe.
Man, I know we don't have a giant female demographic, but if there's any ladies out there listening, just want to let me know, like, are you taking that Andre hammer? Because I just got to believe it's too much. Just too much.
Yeah, give us your take.
I think it's comparable to, like, you know, when you go out to, like, a big Mexican joint. And you order the burrito, and the burrito comes out because, you know, you order the big burrito because you're super hungry. Oh, and then the big burrito comes out that, like, covers the entire table, and you're like, oh, I can't eat all this. You know what I mean? So maybe you eat a little bit of the burrito, and you're like, I'll take the rest home for later. I think that's the same situation. I don't know, right? I don't know. I don't have a fucking 18-month-old child swinging between my legs. So
you think it's a, you know, you got to portion it out kind of a thing?
Well, I don't know, man. I would think so. But at the same time, like, Andre doesn't want to portion it out, right?
Yeah, that's true.
He wants to get rid of that 2 gallons of milk.
Yeah, no, I didn't notice that, you know, giant hog between Andre's legs, but is it worth the rewatch?
I mean, it's worth taking a look at. I mean, it wasn't like Carl Ripley's Believe It or Not, right? it wasn't that big. But then my second thought was, if I can see how big his hammer is, like just regular standing, can you imagine if he's a grower? It's just a situation, man.
Put us all to shame, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. If they're like they're measuring them out, and you're like, oh, all right, what do we got here? 58 inch waist, 78 inch crank. I mean, at full, right? Right at full.
Right, right,
right, right. Not like after a swim.
78, I think that's overshooting the mark a little bit.
That probably is, but I don't know. Like if it's big enough, you can run a flag up it. And then also fly it at half mast while he's at half mast. I don't know, man. I got questions. I mean, he's got a daughter, right?
He does.
I wonder who that mom is. I wonder if she's still alive, and I wonder if she's back to walking like a regular human or not.
Might have to do a deep dive on, yeah. I'll see Andre a little bit later on. I'll be in Herc's corner. You got Macho Man in the back. He's all jacked up for his first world title defense on the TV. Freak out! Freak out! Liz feels that madness.
Liz, you want to feel the madness? And then fucking Liz goes, yes, Randy.
What the fuck are you there for?
Like, I have no issues with Liz, right? She's sweet. She's wholesome. She's nice. But when he is all being a maniac, you want to feel the madness, Liz?
Yes, Randy.
There's no reason for her.
Do you think Sensational Sherry was a better match for the match?
Better match, probably. But I always thought that she was a bit of an overactor.
Yeah, she
was not in the way that Randy was. Like Randy, he was just being a character, right? And it never felt like he was overacting his character. No matter what Sherry did, it always felt like she was overacting her role. Like when she was with Honky, when she was with fucking Mach, when she was with, I mean, Sean, when she was with Harlem Heat, like it just always felt like she was just a little too much. Pull it back a little bit.
So we'll get back to this format some more, but we're going to hear from all these guys again. Different kind of wrestling show. This was put in the time slot of Saturday Night Live, so usually they put like the best, their, you know, the matches with the bigger stars on, you know, within the first hour. So we're going to get that title match second or third up. We get a nice little highlight package to kick things off, featuring a lot of that Mania 4 footage. So you got Vince and Jesse the Body in the booth.
Jesse looks like fucking Jungle Recon.
It's looking a little bit different this time.
Yeah, have you ever seen Jungle Recon from Action Figure Therapy?
No.
I'll send you a video and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a fucking funny bit. But yeah, as soon as I saw him, I was like, he looks like fucking Jungle Recon. Settle down, mustache with titties.
Man, we get a rundown. And when talking about the Demolition Bulldogs match, Jesse says that Matilda's going to feel like she's been mated with a Mack truck.
The fuck is wrong with you? I wrote that down too.
Is that a dog rape joke?
I don't think it's a rape joke. All right, let's be a little sensitive here. I don't think it's a rape joke. Mated, right? So obviously having a little In-N-Out burger, but with a Mack truck. A dog mating with a Mack truck? No, no, no. No, 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 no. That's like Andre mating with Liz. No, 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 no.
Yeah, that was quite the claim there by Jess. He rolls the footage where Hack is facing Andre on Superstars, and Hack whacks him with the 2x4. Calls it felonious assault. Jesse's pretty pissed. I mean, you know, he says this isn't wrestling. He's right.
He's right.
Hardcore match.
Right.
First up, we got Duggan taking on Hercules with Bobby and Andre. Vince sends it back to who he calls a real journalist, Mean Gene Okerlund, the Heenan family. Bobby calls Mean Gene a jerk. And we get a big ho from Andre. So this is going to be some retribution for that assault, I guess.
Maybe.
And then we get Duggan. What do you think about hearing from Duggan twice in the first 10 minutes?
I don't mind it. It's obviously it's probably too much. But when you hear Duggan, have you ever seen Hacksaw Jim Duggan? And we're gonna try and like forget Canadian Jim Duggan. Even then though, I'm not sure. Have you ever saw or heard Hacksaw and went, oh God, shut up. I've had enough of you, Hack. Never. He's like one of the most lovable sons of bitches that's ever walked the planet. Would you move in with him if he was like, hey man, looking for a roommate?
Hacksaw Duggan seems like a good guy.
He seems like he'd be a good roommate too.
Strong guy.
Strong guy, right? He'll help you out.
Help you move stuff.
Right. He'll get you out of bed in the morning. Oh, old Hacksaw Jim Duggan alarm, right? Get out of bed, yep. Tough guy.
You know, he does have interesting stuff to say. Says if Andre is hungry, he can have some of his high-fiber diet plan. I think he's talking about taking a bite of his wood, huh, yeah?
Oh, gotcha. I thought he was going to make him eat a shit.
So he's pissed at Andre for costing him that belt at Mania. And that was a first-round match.
What does that mean?
I guess it did cost him his chance, right?
Yeah, it did.
But I blame that on the ref for not making the DQ.
So you're thinking Hacks got misplaced aggression?
Perhaps.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
Mean Gene says he handles the lumber like Don Mattingly. Oh, yeah. So Duggan's out there. Jesse says he sounds like a wounded water buffalo in heat. It's moving for Jess.
Well, I was going to say, is Jess into some bestiality? Like, is that what he's talking about? A dog mating with a truck? Now he's talking about a wildebeest in heat?
Yeah. Water buffalo. Wildebeest, same deal.
Yeah. And why does he know what that sounds like?
Well, he's in that predator gear, right?
He's out on safari. Going,
on the range.
Hey, I see that wildebeest there. I think she's in heat. Let's shoot it in the leg.
That sounds a lot like Hacksaw Duggan. I'm going to work this into my next show.
Come here, water buffalo. I want to talk to you about tax reform.
Oh, man. Duggan, he's super over. All he has to, you know, you mentioned this on our last episode. All he's got to do is just give you the thumbs up and the hoe.
Yeah.
Do you think the crowd noise is piped in on this show?
Because
they're might super be. Loud.
I don't know for sure. I don't know. Do you think they had pipe it in technology in 88?
I bet they did. You know, I mean, they've been doing sitcoms with, you know, piped in laughter for a while.
Great point. Most of me wants to believe that they didn't pipe it in, but it's possible.
But you see the fans, and
they love them.
You know, Hulkster is about the only guy who's more over, maybe the Macho Man. They're just yelling along with Hack, just having a great time. Jesse says Duggan doesn't know how to wrestle, but he knows how to brawl. So you get a big-time atomic drop out of Hacksaw, just dominating the early going. He stares down Andre. Ooh, no fear in Duggan.
I like that from him.
A lot of courage.
Right, a lot of courage. Right. It's fucking stupid, but a lot of courage.
Jesse calls the fans a bunch of morons. He reminds me of you.
What? Whoa.
Jesse
whoa.
The Body.
Oh, I have never been on Serengeti. All right, so let's knock that out right now.
Well, I mean, when he's talking about the fans, right?
Well, they're idiots.
He's a little more bestial than you, but I mean, when he's talking about the fans, that's the first thing I thought.
Yeah.
He tells us we're getting down to the nitty-gritty now that the feeling out portion of the bout is over. Oh, yeah.
The nitty-gritty and the bitty-titty.
So, Herc, he throws Doug into the floor. Jess says that Hack is too dumb to hurt himself. I don't know where that came from, but...
That's not a brilliant quote.
No.
He's too dumb to hurt himself? Like, it's smart to hurt yourself?
Jess hits most of the time.
Yeah. This is one of those times.
What do you think of Hercules? Is he a good hand, or is he kind of...
I think that he was great in Power and Glory. But that's because he just had one role, right? He was power. So
like that combo team action.
I was a good combo team. One of, if not the best tag team finishes in the history of tag team wrestling. But when he's got to kind of do it on his own, there's something to be desired there.
So I noticed this is the same ref from Mania, the loud guy who I hope would have gotten the pinks, but he didn't get the pinks.
No pinks.
So, unsurprisingly, he takes his eyes off the prize and Heenan lands a cheap shot. Jesse says that was just a little love tap.
Yeah.
Duggan grabs the wood and swings it over his head as Vince cheers him on. We go to our first commercial break. Kind of surprised, don't you? Do you got to wait for Duggan to connect to DQ him? Or is bringing the wood in the ring enough?
I think it depends on the... Depends on the official. Like, if you just bring it in the ring, if I'm the official, I don't DQ him. I just give him a, you know, you better not.
Right.
Yeah. Give me your wood. I got to put it over here.
Here, let me hold your wood.
Yeah, give me your wood. I'm going to bring it over here.
So that's what this ref does. He takes the wood away, and Hergetz blows in before locking in a bear hug. The Duggan, he summons the power of all the fans, breaks the hold.
Wait. I took minimal notes on this match, and this is one of my notes. The bear hug, Hack doesn't let sink in at all.
He's got, you know, the power of the Duggan 80 axe, man.
No, but you still have to at least struggle a little bit in the bear hug before you get the fans back up behind you to power out of it. He doesn't. He gives it the amount of time of, like, a bro hug. You know, the one like, oh, hey, man, handshake, lean in, right? Oh, yeah. Good to see you again. Good to see you again. That's essentially the amount of time that he waits for him to start getting the fans behind him to get out of the bear hug. Like, let it sink, man. Struggle a little bit.
Yeah, have a rest. Take a little nap, you know.
Take a breather, man. Yeah. But he's like, what's this, a bear hug? USA! USA!
You know, you mentioned the Doug and Hogan comparison on the first episode of this season, and I'm seeing it. You know, Hulkster, he would have let that sink in for at least a minute. But same type of deal, you know, hulking out of the hold.
Mm-hmm.
And then it looks like Hack's warming up for Sweet Chin Music.
I laugh so hard. I thought that's like the other note I have. It's like, Hack's doing chin music now.
No, that was, we didn't see a chin music. I was had my hopes up there for a second, but he gets Herc in the corner for a quick 10 count. And Jesse the Body says that the ref could have counted to 10 there, which brings me to a question for you.
Okay.
Is every 10 count in the corner a violation of that 5 count? Got to get the guy out of the ropes? I mean, they're counting the 10 fast, though.
Boy, you know what?
But in theory, right?
Yeah.
You get 5 seconds with that guy in the corner.
Yeah. You know what? You kind of just blew my fucking mind.
Jesse brought it up, and I'm like, oh, shit. You know?
That is a violation.
Yeah.
But it's never talked about.
No, it's because fans love to count, man. Can't take that away from them.
You're right. You probably shouldn't take that away from them. Wow. I've never thought about that before in my life.
It's a relief to have Jesse the Body in the booth.
I don't know if I can continue the show with my mental state.
Well, do your best, man.
Well, here's where I'm at. I love the rules, but I also love the 10 count, and the 10 count is in a violation of the rules that I love.
What you gonna do, man?
I have no fucking clue. I got no idea, man. I'm just... What the fuck?
I'll let you compose yourself. I'll take us home here.
Thanks.
So Duggan, he hits that big run and clothesline, and then Bobby runs in to break it up. So Duggan gets the DQ victory, and then your guy, Andre, still limber. He gets in there. We have a 3-on-1 assault on Duggan. And then we see the Ultimate Warrior come in there with the 2x4. Heenan family heads for the exits. And Duggan celebrates with the Warrior. So this must be before the Warrior gets his kick-ass theme. What do you think of that tandem, the Warrior and Duggan?
Warrior sucks. He does. He's not. He sucks. Not big on. Not big on Warrior. He's getting that Hacksaw Jim Duggan rub. You know what I think? As much as I love the 10 count, you can't override the rules.
You think it's got to go?
I love the 10 count, but the more I think about it, like you can't put it in place the rule, right? The rule has to matter. I say that all the time. Rules have to matter.
You probably have to watch the shows a little more critically from here on out, right? Because you would expect like a senior official, like a Hebner,
right,
to at least give the guy a stern talking to, right?
Yeah.
After the 10.
Right. Right. Like, no matter how much I love the 10 count, it's not bigger than the rules. Sorry, didn't mean to derail us.
In this instance, this ref is terrible, one of the worst I've seen.
Right.
So I mean, anything we could throw at this ref is all right with me, but this is a greater issue, so I'm sure we'll come back to it.
Yeah. When Warrior tries to celebrate with Duggan, like, obviously they're giving Warrior the Duggan rub. Oh, yeah.
Oh, but yeah.
It's like he grabs Hacks.
Sharing the wood.
They're sharing the wood, and he's like, oh, raise the wood. I want to raise the wood with you. We're both raising the wood. And a lot of me just, like, when you look at Hack, you know, Hack's like, I don't know what this fucking guy is. Why is this guy? Fuck this guy. But Hack would never say that because he's such a nice guy. Tough guy.
Right.
So, man, I feel bad for Hack. Like, Hack's out there. He's completely, like you said, he's the only one that's got bigger praise is probably Hulkster. And they're like, hey, you face-painted jack-off. Why don't you run out there and help Duggan? Then the fans will love you, too. And Duggan's got to be like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
That's his 2x4.
Yeah, get your hands off my 2x4.
That's his prop, right?
Yep, it is.
I mean, say you're Brutus the Barber, and you got Warrior coming out, grabbing your shears.
Also unacceptable.
I wouldn't trust the Warrior with the shears. I wouldn't trust Bruce the Barber with the shears, really. But
I wouldn't trust Warrior with safety scissors.
No. Speaking of the shears and whatnot, we got a clip from Mania where Mouth of the South got his hair cut by the Barber. So here's fun fact number two. So Jimmy Hart's stable was originally called the Hart Foundation.
Makes sense.
But once, you know, the Hart Foundation tag team started getting over, they just kept that name, and they didn't call everybody in Jimmy Hart's stable a Hart Foundation guy.
Yeah, makes sense.
So he's in the back with Danny Davis. He's holding a bag with all sorts of blades. Gene says that Jimmy looks better with the short hair. And Jimmy calls him Bean Brain and threatens to pull out the rest of his hair.
From inside.
Yeah. It seems like Jimmy was, I mean, Gene was trying to give him a compliment.
Right. Hey, you look better with the short hair. Yeah, that is a compliment.
Jimmy basically says, blow it out your ass, but in a more violent kind of.
Right, but how is he going to, the pulling hair out from the inside makes me a little bit concerned.
Go on.
Does he have a device that he's hooking up to, like, Gene's BH? Like a super vacuum? Or is this a manual job?
I mean, in the bag, he's got the regular scissors, the big old shears, and that big-ass blade.
Right.
That thing didn't even look real.
It's the inside part that
I'm thinking it's a manual job.
Oh, boy.
So he's cut him open?
Oh, I don't know. It's not good. It's not good. I don't even want to think about it.
What do you think of that beret Jimmy's wearing?
Berets, you know, not a lot of guys can pull off a beret. Jimmy fits that category.
Yeah, he calls the beaver a meatloaf, and they head out to the ring with shears in hand.
So, this might be the most important question I ask you this episode. Danny Davis, does he look more like a scorpion or a T-bird to you?
Oh, man. I think a T-bird.
So that's what I was thinking initially, because of the hair, right? He's got that T-bird hair. But if you look at him in the face, he's got that scorpion face.
He's got a pretty rough face.
Right. So you think if he was in the movie, and for those that don't know, maybe the young listeners, we're talking about Grease here. All right, go watch it. It's a fantastic film. You think that if he was in the movie, he could have been cast as a double agent?
Oh, for sure.
Right.
I mean, that's what he is here.
Right. Man, that's the first. I was like, man. And then do you think that'd be an okay gimmick for him to run?
As a member of a biker gang?
Well, the Scorpions T-Birds weren't. It wasn't a biker gang. They were just into cars, remember?
Oh, right.
Right. So, like, you know, it becomes.
Leather jacket gang.
Leather jacket, yeah.
It would be a natural progression further down, right?
Right, yeah. I just thought he probably looked cooler in the ring.
I mean, yeah, I could see that. Because a little backstory here, a little over a year prior to the show, Dangerous Danny was stripped of his referee duties as a result of being a bias official.
Okay.
So he eventually straightens himself out and gets reinstated. But in the meantime, he's a heel managed by the Mouth. So he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
A tough-looking guy. Not much in the ring, but.
No, it's fine, though.
He's paired with another guy who isn't much in the ring. We got Bruce the Barber Beefcake. He's in the back with me, Gene. He says, all work and no play gives Brutus a dull blade. He says, it's two for one night at the Brutus the Barber Beefcake Barber School. Then, I didn't see this coming. This got me in the surprise department. So he whips out Jimmy Hart's hair and puts it on Gene's head in a move that was a little shocking.
You were that shocked, yeah?
Gene didn't, he wasn't a big fan of that.
Well, no, man. Nobody is. You've gotten a haircut before. I mean, it's probably been, what, about a decade, but... Like, after you get a haircut, like, there's hair is fucking everywhere. You got to get in the shower or the sauna or whatever you got to get in to get it all off of you. So if somebody else, right, takes somebody's hair and drops it on your head, that sucks. It's everywhere. You never really feel like you got it all off of you. Right?
So this is kind of like misplaced kindness by the barber. I mean, he sees his buddy, Mean Gene, you know, bald as a cue ball.
Right.
Trying to hook up some of Jimmy Hart's luscious locks.
Yeah, I mean the motivation was proper, but the execution was real jackass.
He says if he doesn't like Jimmy's hair, he'll be back after the match with some dangerous Dannies to try on.
That's not a bad line. No.
So Brutus, he doesn't have his trademark theme song yet.
Not yet.
But it's probably coming soon. We're set to a commercial break. Yeah, Brute taking on Dangerous Danny. So what do you think of the production of this show so far?
You know, not what we're used to, obviously. Even like just watching like TV specials and wrestling. It's a little bit out there. Like a lot of backstage stuff, which is okay. Like I don't mind that so much. It kind of feels a little bit all over the place. When you're like, all right, just give me the fucking match.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Jesse says these guys look like candy canes with their striped tights. Pretty good line.
It's, what?
Brute's got the pink and Dangerous Danny has the white, black striped tights. They do kind of look like candy canes.
You ever had a black and white striped candy cane?
Like a black licorice?
I don't know. I've never seen one before.
I bet they got it, man.
Yeah, I mean, candy cane technology has really come advanced over the last, say, 15, 20 years. All kinds of flavors, really.
I've never had one, personally.
But not in 88. In 88, you just had your standard red and white candy cane. Go back to the Serengeti and start mating with some wildebeest, governor.
So Davis gets the early advantage. Jimmy goes for some clipping on the barber. He's not quick enough. Davis goes off the ropes. And gets a knee. They say it's a knee to his jaw, but it looks like he gets it in his package. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. Get him in the package.
I love it when they try and sell it as like a different body part.
Yeah.
Gorilla loves calling it the bread basket. You know, yeah. A nards plow. Just call it, yeah. You know. Yeah.
Let's call it what it is.
So Beaver does some strutting. Let's go for that sleeper. He locks it in, and Jimmy tries to distract the ref to no avail, and Bruce picks up the win in a real short match.
Wait a second. When that sleeper gets locked in, that was my favorite part of the entire match, because Jimmy starts fucking running laps around the ring.
Yep. Yeah, he's doing his best.
Right. It's like he got hurt, and he's trying to run away from the pain. He's fucking Davis is locked in the sleeper, and all I can think about is Jimmy doing laps around the ring going, oh, no, baby, what are we? And I tell you what, he's pretty fucking quick. Like he's doing laps, and I don't know. I bet he probably runs at like a sub 4.440. That guy is flying around the ring.
You remember how quick he got up that pole for the sack of silver dollars?
As a matter of fact, I do.
He's a quick one.
Yeah, man.
So Beaver, he goes for the tools of the trade and wants to do him some cutting. Jesse says President Jack Tunney should do something about this. And it makes him sick. So this is not a part of wrestling. And again, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
So after doing a little cutting, he sprays some white on him. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wakes him up and shows him the mirror, and he's pissed. Then he goes to town some more on Davis, adding insult to injury. Let me ask you this.
I really was hoping you would. What's the question?
What do you think of the whole haircut bit?
I don't mind it.
It's longer than the match.
It is. It is. And that part's, you know.
Perfect setup with the sleeper.
Right, right. The thing that I don't like is he puts him in the sleeper, and then he's dead until Brudai gives him, like, what do you give him, like an elbow to the trap?
Yeah.
And that wakes him up. That part of it I don't like. That part's a little bit too hokey for me. But I don't mind, like, putting him in the sleeper, cutting his hair. I don't, the spray paint gimmick, that's not, that seems kind of dumb. Because he, like, even, like, spray paints, like, his back and his front and all that kind of stuff. It just didn't, that part of it, not for me. But if you're establishing, like, him as a threat to cut whoever he's in the ring, like, whoever's opponent's hair is at any given time, that's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never, like, a shortcut, right? Like, I would have really loved if he brought out some buzzers.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, actions. Yeah. He's not cutting anybody's hair in a fashion in which it can't be, like, saved by a good barber.
Right. Well, we get some footage. Mania. The one-man gang's trying to hit Macho with the cane in the subsequent DQ. So the ref didn't actually see him hit him with it. So this goes back to the hacksaw thing, right?
That's what I fucking said when we talked about that during the WrestleMania 4 episode. He never sees it. He never hits him.
Slickster is in the back there. He says that the gang was just defending him. Says they beat the dude once and they're going to beat him again. We got a world title match coming up next, man.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Jive Soul Bro.
Jive Soul Bro.
Slickster's got some moves, man.
I love
fun,
Slick.
Fun to watch. Did you know he managed the Bolsheviks? We'll see that in our next show.
I vaguely remember that.
Seems like a strange acquaintance.
Yeah.
But
he later on actually managed Kamala as well. He turned Kamala face.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, he became Reverend Slick eventually, I remember.
It was fucking hilarious, that turn. You are a man, Kamala!
We're set to the back with the new world champion, the Macho Man. The first lady to manage a world champion, the lovely Miss Elizabeth. Macho's got the gold and the pink sparkly garb. Says he's going past the danger zone into the wild world of madness. And it's going to surround the whole building.
Okay. Well, it's a good thing they're inside the building then, you know, for protection. It's fucking dumbass.
And I like how he signs off here. He tells Elizabeth to inspire him down the aisle and inspire him to victory.
Inspire him to completion.
Good stuff.
The first thing I wanted to get into in this match, if you're Mach or even if you're Gang, right, either one, would you rather have Slick or Liz as your manager?
Well, Jesse the Body brings this up again. She's kind of a liability because he's got to watch out for her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she shows a little leg, right? Right.
She can
be a little distracting,
right?
I mean, Slickster, he's a tall guy. Kind of, he's got a cane, forced to be reckoned with.
He does have a cane. Yeah.
It does make him unique having his gal with him.
I asked you if you would rather have Slick or Liz as your manager.
Oh.
I'd
rather have Liz.
You're out of your fucking mind. Why? Because you think you might be able to see your ass? Is that what you're looking for?
Is that part of the deal?
No goodies come with the deal, all right? It's just her as your manager on the outside, or it's Slick as your manager on the outside.
Okay, I was putting myself in the position of the Macho Man, right?
Either way, man, doesn't matter which performer you are. Say you're neither one of them. You get to pick. You want Liz out there with you, or you want Slick out there with you?
I mean, Liz is prettier than Slick.
Yes, agreed, undoubtedly. But you don't get to see any of her specials, all right? It's strictly a business relationship. In fact, all she does, when the only time you see her is when you're about to walk out. You get back behind the curtain, she goes away, and you go back to wherever you go to.
How many world champions does Slick manage?
This is still not the question, man.
Liz probably has more credentials as a manager.
You're something else.
I mean, Slick's a cool guy. Sure.
Right?
He'd be a fun guy to have out right? there. You dance on more, your way down to the ring.
A little bit more useful, maybe, you think?
Could be.
What do you mean, could be?
He's got that cane.
Liz is a fucking distraction, not only for whoever she's managing. She's a liability, like Jess says, and she doesn't help do shit. She just stands there.
She's managing the world champion, man.
You would rather have the useless Liz in your fucking corner than Slick? A man who's going to get involved, he's going to watch your back, he's going to provide you some distraction, right? He might slide you the cane. He's going to help you win matches. What's Liz going to do? Clap when you win and clap when you lose?
Oh, yeah. She's inspiring him to victory, man. You just heard him.
Is she inspiring you to victory if she's your manager?
Probably.
You're out of your fucking mind.
So you're taking Slickster 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 times I'm taking Slickster. Men are better than women. So...
going to say that's kind of an Oklahoma thing you're going on there, but whatever.
No, man, not at all. Liz doesn't fuck it, especially in 88. She ain't helping you do shit, and I'm talking about right now in 88. I'm not talking about later on.
You take Oklahoma or you take Slick?
I'm taking Slick.
Yeah, I'm taking Slick too.
Right.
You take Jimmy or you take Slick?
That one's a little bit tougher. I mean, I probably take Slick over Jimmy because Slick, he looks. He's bigger than Jimmy, right? So it looks like maybe...
Much bigger.
If the shit's hitting the fan, he can maybe stop some of that shit from hitting me.
Do I get to come out to Jive Soul, bro?
If Slick's your manager?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you do.
Okay, I'm sold. Because yeah. I like Jive Soul, bro, better than Pomp and Circumstance. So.
It's a great song. Yeah,
yeah, it's a good package with Slick. You're onto something, sure.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Slick's got a great package.
So, I got a pair of those Macho Man Savage glasses in my car right now, actually.
You do?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm going to wear them next episode.
you drive around the mean streets of St. Paul. Freak out.
Keeps the sun out good, man. You know, right. You know what I'm talking about.
That Toyota Tercel's about to feel the madness. Yeah.
So, Vince ogling over Liz. No surprise there. We get that piece of shit ref for this one, of course. Macho does one of them signature leaps over the top rope and chases the Slickster to the back. We go to commercial break.
When he chases Slick, the setup to that is actually something I fucking loved.
Man, we just did the leap year episode.
Yeah.
This is his leaping on full display here.
Well, isn't it he does the old Irish whip, right? And he slides under the bottom rope and then just starts chasing Slick? Or is that later in the match?
No, he leaps over the top, man.
Ah, and then Slick comes back. Yeah, what I'm thinking of is later in the match.
All right,
it's cool.
Match goes to town early on with a series of strikes, and hits a big splash from the top for a two count. And then he does another one of those patented leaps over the top. So we should mention, these matches are very short. But the guys do make the most of their time. Like, yeah. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, and you especially see it in this match. I think this match is like 5 minutes, but Savage hits all the greatest hits.
Yeah.
Does that clothesline where he jumps over the top rope and the gang takes the rope to the neck and the gang makes a comeback using his girth. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I got some one man girth.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Picks up Savage by his neck and slams him down. The gang distracts the ref, and Slickster chokes the champion with his cane. So Savage chases the Slickster. This is the spot you were referring to.
Gotcha.
It's a good spot. You want to take her here?
Yeah, fucking gang gives Mach the Irish whip, and instead of hitting the ropes and coming back, he slides out of the ring.
caught me by surprise. Caught you by surprise, too. I know it did. I could see it in your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And then he just gives chase to Slick. Now, it's not a smart move by Mach. It's not a smart thing to do. But it looked fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really like that.
He does a lot of stuff you don't see anybody else doing.
Yeah.
But when he gets back into the ring, the gang's waiting for him, and he takes an elbow drop. That whole series was great. So he went out, chased Slick around the ring. Slick goes back in the ring. He follows Slick, and then he takes an elbow.
It's awesome.
Beautiful stuff. So the gang's a big fan of the dirty tactics. You see a bunch of chokes and eye gouges and whatever it takes. Mach makes a comeback with some of them standing elbows, clotheslines the gang over the top, follows it up with that double axe, from the top rope to the outside. Just all the stops, pulling him out. So he goes for another double axe, takes a blow to the midsection. The gang goes up the second rope for that 747 splash, and he misses. The Slickster makes his way over to Liz. Savage knocks his hat off. Body calls Liz a liability, like we were talking about earlier. And Slick goes for the cane blow, and he hits his own guy by mistake. Savage follows up with a big elbow and retains the title.
Nice.
So the Body reminds us that he's been a Savage guy since he got there, that everybody else jumped on the bandwagon when he became a good guy. I like how Jess keeps it real.
Yes, that's what you like.
So solidifying his face status, Savage opens the ropes for Liz and they head to the back. First title defense for Macho Man, what do you think?
I like Gang. Could have maybe cut out a little bit of the extracurriculars with Liz and Slick. Chasing him to the back in the beginning just for him to come back out to the ring, not really needed, not really necessary. You absolutely keep the spot where he slides out of the ring because that looks awesome. I like the extra, running around, getting in the ring, Gang dropping the elbow. With the cane, they made it almost necessary to use that within the match because of them showing what happened at Mania 4 with the cane. I enjoyed the match. It was a lot of fun.
So we got a few more shows left with the Gang, and then he's going to go through a transformation a little bit later on in the year. So that'll be fun. We go to the back. Gene and the British Bulldogs. They're going to be taking on Demolition in a non-title match. Davey's holding Matilda. There's rumored that the bad guys are going to dip her in chrome and make her into a hood ornament. Bulldogs assure him that that won't be the case. There's a lot of allusions to animal abuse.
Yeah. That's not right.
Jesse the Body has left his broadcast position to go talk to Demolition with Mr. Fuji-san in the back. That's the first thing he hears, Jesse the Body going, "Ah, Mr. Fuji-san. Mr. Fuji-san.
Mr. Fuji-san." But isn't that a show of respect?
I believe so. Yeah, he's doing right. The bow.
Yeah, so that's good. He's doing the right thing.
I don't think they took a glitter bath this time, man. I watched this one on a bigger TV.
Did you? Was it high definition?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Did I miss the glitter? I didn't see any.
I didn't see any either.
Because I was looking for it.
Maybe it was just for WrestleMania they had the glitter on. We got to do something big, Axe. Got to do something big for WrestleMania. What do we do? I know. We'll go to a strip club.
The Body congratulates them on their title win at the Mania. And he says they're two of the best wrestlers in the Federation and great role models for the youth. Asks if the face paint has helped them win the titles. And Fuji says that it's his face of pain.
Right.
And then Axe and Smash talk about their faces of pain. And then Jesse asks where they're going to mount Matilda. Jeez, Jess.
You think he likes fucking animals?
That's kind of three strikes, you're out.
That's exactly kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, they say that Matilda's going on Fuji's Winnebago after they chrome her. And that's the way it is, Jack. What do you think about Jesse calling us Jack? It's not like it's kind of like condescending.
Yeah, it is. It's not like a tough guy.
No.
I don't like him calling me Jack. I don't want to be called Jack.
I like what he has to say, but I don't like that attitude. You know?
Right.
Like, he's not better than me.
No, just any better than one. Why? Why? Because he looks like Jungle Recon? No. In this interview, I laughed very, very hard when fucking Axe and Smash start chanting pain in unison. It's like they just ran out of shit, and like they each say pain at the same time, and I don't know if it was planned or not, but then they just go with it, and they're like, pain, 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 pain. Settle down, man.
The Demolition, they're out there to their rocket theme song. They got their helmets and their vests with the spikes. Matilda's got a perch set up in the corner of the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a silly question.
Probably, but you're going to ask it anyways. Go ahead.
Mr. Fuji, he's got a manager's license.
Yeah.
Matilda got anything? Are pets just allowed out there? Pets and children, apparently.
Perhaps Matilda's an emotional support animal.
Good call. Good call. I know the Bulldogs, they're not the most mentally stable.
Exactly.
Lads. So
yeah.
Jesse says that on his way back to the booth, women were ripping his clothes off, so he's out of breath. And Demolition started.
Did he say whether they were human animals or no?
Didn't specify. He said women, so not just animals for the body.
Right, gotcha.
It's an equal opportunity body.
Gotcha.
The Demolition, they start off with some of their trademark Smash double axes. Always like those.
They're so cheap. And it's funny, like, usually you don't like seeing a lot of the same shit. But them, like, double axing a guy repeatedly fucking looks rad.
Fits them as a team, for sure. Because they're smashing them with the double axe.
Right.
Bulldogs make the quick tags. Smash hits a backbreaker on Dynamite, follows it up with a bear hug. Dynamite breaks the hold, but Smash hooks his leg into a drop toe hold to keep him in his corner as he makes the tag to Axe. Very nice.
Yeah, the move is nicer than how you worded it.
Davey finally gets the hot tag. He slams the champions. And then this doesn't make any sense to me. So Dynamite was really getting the business. Davey gets tagged in, does a power slam, immediately tags back out. Dynamite's hurting.
Ah, maybe he fucking hates Dynamite.
Maybe.
I mean,
here you take the punishment, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're not too much longer for this. Dynamite isn't, right? Because it's kind of a prick. So
I think they make it till about the end of the year.
Yeah.
We'll see him at SummerSlam taking on the Rougeaus, and then, I mean, we'll touch on what happens after that when we get there. So the fight goes to the outside, and Fuji hits a cheap shot. Davey grabs Matilda by the leash, and they go racing up the island after Fuji. You like that better than what they tried at Mania 4?
That's what I said that they should have done at Mania 4. So, yeah, I like
it
better.
Right.
Yeah.
They chase Fuji to the back. Then we go to commercial break. And then when we come back, we see the Bulldogs. Each of them have half of Fuji's cane. Just beating the shit out of Demolition.
This is fucked already. This is 100% already fucked. And you can't unfuck it in my mind. All right.
Why, man?
Why no count out? They already went well past 10. Well past 10, before they went to commercial break.
Commercial break, that's at least 5 minutes.
Nah, three maybe, you know, that's carried away. Commercial break's not usually 5 minutes. That's too many commercials, right?
Longer than a 10 count.
Much longer than a 10 count. So, like, I was expecting a, you know, count them out, and nope, they go to commercial break. Still no count out. Why no count out? There's not many times I go, golly, I wish I saw a count out there. I wish I fucking saw a count out there.
Were Demolition in the ring?
No. Demolition was out of the ring as well.
You think it should have been a double count out?
Double count out.
What was the ref doing?
I'm trying to remember here because I want to say that they had like a couple of officials out by that point, and they're trying to stop Demolition from going to the back. Meanwhile, the Bulldogs are already in the back.
Oh, right. Demolition tried to escape.
Yeah, it's
kind of a shit show.
I I don't like that.
Real brutal attack by a face team. They're trying to turn him here? That was kind of strange.
No, I don't think they're trying to turn him. I mean, you got the bad guy's, you know, weapon of destruction. You take it in the ring and then you use their own weapon of destruction on, you know, also on the bad guys. I think that still makes you an okay guy.
And they were threatening to mount Matilda.
Right, yeah.
So I suppose that's fair.
Right.
Yeah, kind of a nothing match. Demolition gets the win by disqualification. Get sent to the back. We got The Rock, Don Morocco, and Superstar Billy Graham. Superstar says Morocco has a $1 million body. He's going to take a piece of him. And then Morocco says he's going to take a piece of the $1 million man. Come on, Superstar. Wasn't Superstar supposed to be a good stick man?
He's a little bit older.
Now we get to hear from the $1 million man and Virgil. Virgil's got that big wad of cash. He's kind of fanning himself with it. DiBiase says he's the rightful champion, having been robbed of the title twice. I mean, he did buy it fair and square.
Yeah.
And yeah. One of these days we'll have to dig out that, you know, wrestling rule book. Because unless it says you can't sell it, you probably can.
I think you're right.
And then he did, you know, take a chair shot from Hulkster at Mania 4.
He did.
So he was robbed there as well.
Yeah.
Gene says that he's got to beat The Rock. Ted fires back that he doesn't want Gene telling him what to do. Says he's getting savage any way he can. Gets all fired up and yells that I am the champion. I was the champion. I will be the champion.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't accept other people saying you're not the champ anymore. Why? Because you don't have the belt? Yeah, you think that works? That works as a character? Guy that never has a championship belt, just always calls himself the champion?
I think later on this year, he gets his own belt made because he can't get his hands on any gold officially. But good to hear the money, money, money theme. We didn't hear that at Mania 4, so that must have just been added.
Morocco's theme is a little bit different, too. I don't know if you picked up on that.
Yeah. Not as good as the DiBiase theme.
No, of course not.
That's already skyrocketed to, you know, one of the best themes. I mean, you got Hulkster, obviously, Demolition, DiBiase. I'm sure we'll be seeing more and more guys getting theme music. Ted gets off to a quick start before taking a big old back body drop. One of the best. We'll see a guy in the next match who also takes one of the best backbreakers, but DiBiase, he just had a second to none with the salesmanship.
Yeah.
He's not wearing the wrist tape. That threw me off.
Well, maybe he just didn't need it.
What's the thought behind the wrist tape?
Well, same thing as, you know, thought behind the ankle tape.
Which is?
You know, stability.
Oh.
Yeah. So I say, maybe he wanted the wrist real loose.
A little loose out there, huh?
Yeah, he wanted to keep the wrist real loose because he had a big, big plans to go solo after the match.
Well, The Rock, Don Morocco, he connects with the big body slam real close to the ropes. Virgil gets the boss's leg on the bottom rope. And Superstar walks over to Virgil to intimidate him into behaving himself. Meanwhile, Ted's going to work. It's a nice gut-wrench suplex. Goes for the back body drop. Pays the price for putting his head down too early. The Rock connects with a side Russian leg sweep. He connects with another big power slam and gets a two. And then Ted slams Morocco and gets a pinfall. Meanwhile, The Rock's leg was clearly on the rope. Pretty sure this is the same shit official.
Yeah, yeah. So
you don't see a win from a basic body slam too often.
Not too often, no. So I was thinking too, like, I actually really like the way that this whole thing worked out, because first you have the one guy having the, you know, you're saving Ted from the 1-2-3, pointing out that this foot's on the rope. Now, Morocco, on the other hand, I liked it, but I have one big issue with it. So Morocco has his leg on the rope when he's getting pinned for the 1-2-3. And Morocco is pointing to his foot, saying it's on the rope. Right? He's not, he's just pointing. Hey, guy. Hey, look. Look over there. My foot's on the rope. If you have the wherewithal to put your foot on the rope, raise your arm and point to it. Maybe you raise your arm just a little bit higher so your shoulder's off the mat, dipshit. You deserve to lose. It looked fun, right? It looked cool that he did that. Like, hey, foot's on the rope, foot's on the rope. But, like, if you hear one, hey, foot's on the rope, foot's on the rope. Two, hey, foot's on the rope. You motherfucker, kick out.
Right. He didn't have him in a small package.
He's
basically putting his elbow or his shoulder up when he's pointing.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe just a little bit more. Rock Morocco. Maybe just a little bit more. You fucking jagoff. And like the big problem I have with it is that I love this. Like, I fucking think it's genius. It's like pointing at your, hey, my foot's on the rope, guy. Hey, look, go look at that. Look at that. But not to the extent of losing the fucking match.
Yeah. You think this referee's being paid off?
Boy, it was the same official, right?
Yeah.
That watched Andre Deck hack at Mania 4. Oh. I think he's on the payroll. I think Virgil's using that money to fan, you know, not only fan himself, but to also fan the undercarriage of that official.
Everybody's got a price.
You know they do.
Yeah, Virgil, he passed away this past week.
Oh, the Verge man?
Want to give him a moment of silence?
I do, but first I want to ask you, did you ever see that Virgil video that he put out online where he was like, I don't know, it was like a cameo or whatever it was, but he was trash talking a guy and his nut sack was hanging out of his shorts?
No.
Oh, man, you got to see that video. He's wearing basketball shorts, like real short, like. And you know, trust me, you got to see it. All you guys, listeners out there, if you want to see it, just look up Virgil, I don't know, nutsack. And he's trash talking somebody, and his balls are just hanging out. It's fucking hilarious.
All right. Well, with that, Virgil and his nutsack, moment of silence.
Moment of silence. Virgil and his ball bag.
We got one more match to go, man.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I know we still got a thing to talk about, but I was going to find the nutsack video for you.
But first, we go to Mean Gene. Savage and Elizabeth are in the back talking about the madness and inspiration. Ooh, yeah. Macho Madness has got all of that momentum. Calls him the multi-million dollar man. So Hulkster did this at Mania 4 as well. I don't know if I like that multi-million dollar man.
You don't like it?
With the multi in there?
Okay.
I mean, it's got the alliteration, sure. It's another M.
Right. Right. I don't mind the multi-million dollar man, but would you rather him just million dollar man, right? Doesn't have the same kind of carry.
That's what we know him as, the million dollar man.
But if he's got more than a million, right? Is he the millions dollar man? Million dollars man?
I mean, I get what they're saying. Right.
Right. He's got more than a million now. He's got to add a little bit.
Well, he did pick up that win over The Rock, so he'll be getting a title shot eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah. I don't remember a lot of people calling him the multi-million dollar man.
No, it must have just, I mean, the Hulkster called him that at the Mania, and we got Savage here. Just must not have caught on.
Yeah.
But our last match, man, you said you were looking forward to this one. It's two of your guys.
Hell yeah.
Ravishing Ricky taking on Coco B. I gotta say, those cartoon graphics that they have,
fucking awesome
for the superstars.
Yep,
real good.
Beautiful real good. Touch. Beautiful touch. Yeah. Each one has like I don't know some thought behind it. It looks nice. It makes sense. I'm with you, man. Those graphics are. It's way better than that. The stupid bullshit graphics they do now.
Right.
You know, fucking Bianca Belair is coming to the ring and you get a bunch of fucking kissing faces throughout your screen. Don't give me the kissing faces. Give me two graphics. It's going to be this guy as this guy. And here comes this guy down to the ring. And look cool, man. It just looks cool. You're right.
Ravishing Rick's out there first with Bobby the Brain and his seductive saxophone theme song. He's got the purple Simply Ravishing robe. He gets on the microphone. Asks all us coyote ugly little boys to keep the noise down so the ladies can focus on his ravishing body.
You could make out his promo.
Yeah, the sound was bad.
Yeah, I couldn't make it out twice. And yeah, I just didn't care to try and pay attention to it. After I could, like, I just kind of gave up, I guess. Like, I was like, well, I can't hear shit. Fuck him. And then pretty much, I think I watched this event two times or three times. Every time that promo came up, I was like, ah, who gives a shit? I can't make out what he's saying. Probably Sweat Hog.
It's usually Sweat Hog.
Yeah.
We called them little boys this time, which is, I mean, just as good.
You got to watch your words when you're saying that.
Jesse says that women are going to drop left and right when that robe comes off.
He's going to kill them?
Well, they're just going to, they're going to faint, man.
Gotcha.
What do you think of those tights? It's got the women's hands with the nails coming after his package.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. if you're getting the Ravishing Rick Rude character across, right, and you're in the back with the seamstress, and you're like, all right, here's what I want. Everybody knows that I'm Ravishing Rick Rude, and everybody knows that everybody wants to grab my Ravishing Rick dick. Could you go ahead and make it look like there's a bunch of hands trying to go after her?
On both sides, you know. Grabbing the package, thinking, like, grabbing the ace.
Wouldn't it be fucking hilarious if he had, like, extra hands, like, actually, like, on his dong? Like, you know, they're trying to get it, right? What if one of those hands actually does get it?
Just square over the dong?
Just square over it, man.
Is it going to be, like, a full hand, or is it going to be, like, closed because they got it?
No, it's going to be like mid-octopus.
You see like a fist, right?
No, it's not full-on jerking them off yet. But the other thing is, like, what are those hands connected to? You don't know, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. Ghost hands. Ghost jerk.
Ravishing Rick, definitely one of the highlights. Glad to see he's, you know, on here in the main event slot where he should be. Birdman's out next. He's got the gold shiny jacket, the pants. Got some of the Macho Man shades along with Frankie, the parrot. Ravishing Rick, he gets off to an early advantage, but he does some premature hip gyrations. Coco catches him and then mocks his signature taunt. That's one thing with Ravishing Rick. He gets excited.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, who can blame him, really?
Yeah. I mean, if you were Ravishing Rick, you'd be excited too.
It's like, what did he do? He skipped out on like a leapfrog, and he had to do the hip gyrations.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But you don't like what Disco did it.
What Disco did was not the same.
He kind of took some of Ravishing's shtick a little bit.
A little bit. I can see the comparison.
And Coco, what do you think of Coco's hip thrusted?
It was exactly what it was supposed to be. Like, he didn't do it like nearly as good as Ravishing Rick did, but he did it in a manner that like made perfect fun of what Ravishing Rick does. Like, he was a little bit quicker than Ravishing was on the gyrations and stuff like that. I fucking thought it was great, man. I love these two guys.
And Rude goes to the top. And hits that flying fist. Now, Gorilla Monsoon would say that was a bunch of wasted effort. What do you say?
No, man. Not when Ravishing does it.
Just a flying fist off the top?
The flying fist off the top, man. Because you're getting all that momentum, right? You get that extra speed. You're probably not falling enough to reach maximum velocity. But that's pretty good.
He follows it up by mugging the camera. He is it. Just a great character.
It's fantastic.
Loves to pose. Goes for a drop kick, but Coco denies him. Delivers a huge back body drop. Like I mentioned the previous match, one of the best backdrop takers in the biz.
Absolutely.
Right up there with right up there with Million Dollar Man. And then Coco goes for a splash, clotheslines himself on the top rope. Ravish and Rick hits the Rude Awakening and picks up the win.
Fucking, so.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, short match. I enjoyed the match. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. The only thing that I have issue with is Vince McMahon commentary in this match. Because after Coco, you know, chokes himself on that fucking, like, he goes flying, hangs himself out to dry in that top rope. And I think it's Jesse that says he's going for the Rude Awakening. And fucking Vince goes, no, I don't think so. I don't think he is. He said, I don't think. And the next thing that happens is he hits the fucking Rude Awakening.
Right.
What the hell is he setting up if he's not setting up his finish right there?
I just tune Vince out sometimes.
I don't think he's going for the Rude Awakening. Boom, there's the Rude Awakening.
Yeah, what else are you going to go for in that kind of position?
Right. And then even stranger is after the fact, right? Because after the fact, we get a we'll be back. And then they come back, and they're like, hey, how about that? All that wrestling action and all that. We'll be back. And then they go back to him. And all they say is, hey, what a great night of wrestling action. We'll see you on the next Saturday's main event. Why? Hey, thanks for watching Saturday's main event. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back. Thank you for watching Saturday's main event. We'll be back. Hey, we're back. We'll see you on the next Saturday's main event.
So Saturday Night Live does that shit.
It's fucking stupid.
Like, right before the last, like, curtain call on Saturday Night Live, they do the commercials, and then there's, like, just a segment that's just, like, a picture of whoever performed.
Right.
And then it does more commercials. So okay. It's using that same format, but it's pretty dumb way to end the show.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I like the show, though.
I enjoyed the show, man. This show was a lot of fun to watch. There was, none of the matches were very long. They didn't need to be. It was still an enjoyable fucking watch, man. Very easy, kick back, right? Relax, watch some fun wrestling.
At the end here, Jesse says he's glad he doesn't have to talk to McMahon until next fall when the main event picks up. Because we're actually going to have a little bit of a break in the action. Before we get to our next show, almost 4 months off. Before we get into SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, man. This should be a lot of fun. I think all these are fucking a lot of fun, man. I love this era of wrestling. I got the SummerSlam card here. We're going to see the Fabulous Rougeos. That's Jacques and Raymond. You think they call him
Raymond?
Raymond? Or do you think they call him Raymond?
I think they use the accent, right?
I think they do, too.
Raymond.
Raymond Rougeau. Is that, you think that's where Razor Ramon got it? Razor Ramon. Raymond Rougeau. It's like the same fucking thing, isn't it?
It sounds similar. I'll give you that.
So could Raymond Rougeau have been the bad guy? Raymond Rougeau?
He had a hairy chest.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
I think he might have been able to do it. Fucking love that I just said after Raymond Rougeau, Razor Ramon, same thing. Anyways, we're going to see the old strongman, Kenny Patera. He's going to take BNB on. Ricky Rude is going to take on the JYD. We're going to have the Bolsheviks, and they're taking on the Powers of Pain.
Oh, yeah?
Honky versus the Warrior.
We'll have to act surprised for that one.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, and I got to stop you here.
Go ahead. Stop me.
So.
Don't stop me now.
So, Wrestling Challenge and Superstars were the shows that were in syndication at this time. And I think between now and when we do the SummerSlam, I'm going to get caught up on some of those. And here's why. Yeah. Because Jimmy Hart, he's going to be managing the Rougeos. And he gets fired by the Hart Foundation.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure you're going to talk about the tag team title match next.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, so that's why Jimmy Hart is going to be a Demolition's Corner, along with Fuji. I figured without mentioning that, it would just seem weird, right?
Right.
That's one of the bigger things that happens over the summer is that the Harts become faces.
Yeah, I forget how exactly, don't they attack Honky?
I think hockey's involved. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly how it plays out. You'll watch it. You'll remind us. Demolition and the Hart Foundation. Like you said, you got Fuji and Jimmy with Demolition. Double manager. Well, too many cooks in the kitchen.
Oh, you forgot to mention Powers of Pain.
I fucking mentioned Powers of Pain.
They got the Baron.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of short-lived, but...
It's pretty badass, though.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
We got Coco B is taking on the Big Boss Man. What do you think Coco B's win-loss percentage in the Federation is? Pretty low, yeah.
Yeah, probably like 30-70.
Yeah, maybe even less. I don't know. You don't see him win a lot. I love him, but he just doesn't win a lot of matches. Herc versus Jake Roberts. Then we got the Mega Powers. And they're taking on the Mega Box. I don't know that I like that. The Mega Bucks against the Mega Powers. There's better names out there. And then the special guest referee in this match, Jesse Ventura. He loves those special guest referee spots.
Yeah, it's been quite a while since I've watched this show. And I'm a little apprehensive going in because Jesse the Body is not the booth. Superstar Billy Graham is going to be calling this one. So I hope that doesn't, spoil the action for us. But we'll see.
Yeah, good call, man.
Would you have rather had just maybe Savage DiBiase for the world title? Maybe like Hulk Andre and a number one contenders or something like that?
Yeah, I would have been okay with that. I would have been okay with that.
There's a hell of a lot of star power. We got, the Mega Powers.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a great card. I always hate when they don't have the world title defended on one of the big ones.
Right.
Having a tag team match and, for whatever reason, that's the way they're going with it, which is okay. But, yeah, I don't like not having the world title offended.
And here's something that's pretty interesting, actually. We're in the early days of the pay-per-views. This will be the first SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the second Survivor Series and the first 30-man Royal Rumble that we cover.
Awesome.
The only pay-per-view event that Savage defends the title on is WrestleMania 5. We'll see him defend on a couple of main events, but it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is.
It's a cool time. Good times, man. I'm enjoying this season. This is a good choice.
Yeah, big time.
You got any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure Brendan is out there listening somewhere. Brendan, I got to ask you, he's kind of the resident, over at the Wizards, he's kind of the resident dick expert.
Oh.
So Brendan, if you want to take a break from one of your meetings here and let me know, what's the size of that Andre hog? It fascinates me. Everything about Andre the Giant fascinates me, including his hog.
There's going to be an action next time, man. That'll be a treat.
Right. And how does Hog not... He wore that singlet. How does Hog not spill out of that? I think he's got it tucked up as ace.
He's got to be doing something. You're right.
Right. So that's a lot of Hog.
You think it ever slid out?
I think it probably got out of the pen every now and again.
How do you contain something like that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's all very fascinating. And of all the things I thought was going to be fascinating going into the season, I tell you, Andre the Giant's hog was not on my list. So here we are.
Doesn't surprise me.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. Well, I'm Duke Bags. Let's pull it out of there.
Handsome Kevin. A slide one in there. Suck it for me one time. Well, there's going to only one time, yeah. I was in the ring with that Andre the Giant, yeah. He said, "Don't use the baby oil." And I said, "I gotta put some of that on in case your hog gets out. I wanna put the slide right off of it in the way." Yeah, Andre's doing the thing and getting in the guts,
yeah. Yeah, that's Virgil's balls. Thanks. that.
Now you're welcome here. Look at those virtual balls. Andre the Giant's got a hog so big if he's plowing Liz. Looks like he's got a finger puppet on, yeah.